You're listening to an exclusive soundbite series brought to you by Wired for Wonder, a proud innovation by CommBank and The Moment HQ. Prepare yourself as we take you on a mini journey to reignite your curiosity, foster wonderment, and send creativity bustling through your veins. Joining me today is Dr. Catherine Ball, who is an author, founder, and ethics advocate working across global projects where robotics and new technology meet environmental protection. She is also the CEO of an Australian startup working with the application of remotely piloted aircraft systems, also known as drone technology. And if you missed her at Wired for Wonder, please welcome her now. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me, what drives your creativity?
You know what? I think it's been something that was innate in me since I was a very small child. I've always been the person that will want to work out how something works. So I'll pick up a lamp that's at a restaurant, you know, posh restaurant table lamp. I'll pick it up and try and figure out how it works, you know.
That's awesome.
When I was a kid, I loved Mother Nature. David Attenborough was my third parent and, you know, just watching nature documentaries. But one of the other things for me as well, I guess, is that I've never just sat and been told. I've always liked to go out and learn for myself as well. Mm-hmm. I'm quite good at remembering things. I've got a bit of a photographic memory. I was going to be an actress in another life, you know, mm-hmm. 'cause I can remember the lines to poems and stuff. But being told one thing and actually trialing it and experimenting it is something else. And I think some of the most creative lessons I actually had when I was at school were actually my science lessons. They were so creative and just wonderfully experimental, literally.
Mm. That sounds cool, because there's a lot of people out there that just take what they hear and they just take it as fact, whereas it sounds like you will challenge it. You want to know for yourself firsthand that that's how things work.
Yes, to the point of belligerence, some people might say. and I guess I've always had that confidence, in myself to do that, and I don't know why. And I guess it's just part of who I am, I think.
Yeah. And what excites you about technology?
One of the things that really excites me about technology is that we have got no idea where we're going to be, I think, even in 2 years' time now. The speed at which things are actually going, and we haven't even got into, you know, quantum computing yet. We haven't even, you know, harnessed free energy and things like that. And I can see those things as being real in my lifetime. You know, missions to Mars, all this stuff is now actually hitting the tips of our fingers, rather than just beyond the tips of our fingers. It's actually now starting to hit the tips of our fingers in terms of grasp, in terms of reality. So the thing that excites me most is that I have no idea.
Yeah.
Where this is going to go.
The opportunities are endless.
Amazing. And, you know, the funniest thing, especially working with drones, is that, you know, I can go and have a talk with a number of different people, from school kids up to, you know, corporates, and everyone comes up with a different idea. Had a really fun time out in doing a presentation workshop gig, and I basically asked everybody in the room to come up with a drone idea, and each table had to stand up and do it. And it was this top corporate, you know, financial organization having this meeting, and some of the ideas they came out with were absolutely wonderful and groundbreaking. And I'm like, yes, people are working on that, but I hadn't thought of it like that. And so I guess we have also now the connectivity through the internet to actually crowdsource ideas, in which we've never been able to do before. And I think this is something that scientists and academics need to do better, is actually maybe throw ideas out to the universe and allow weird and wonderful things to come back.
It is so cool. It's so amazing. And I think what is really cool about, you know, giving those activities to different groups is that it's really letting people explore their imagination, because they don't know what the actual answer is. No one's confined to trying to get it right, because it's just completely open. So it's a really cool activity to do.
When you start saying to someone, you can't get this wrong, you cannot do this wrong, that there's no wrong answer to this, you just see this weight go off their shoulders. We've been trained since a very young age to pass exams. We've been trained to be correct. We've been trained to fall in with what we've been taught. And I think that actually what we need to now do is to train people to actually not be scared to make mistakes. And sometimes some of the most interesting people I know are hitting their 50s and 60s, and they still aren't quite sure what they want to do with their lives. And they still aren't quite sure about, you know, how they see themselves fitting. I think there's a push now against the linear, which is great, because I don't think life is linear in any way, shape or form. I don't think there's any biological feedback loop or mechanism that's actually linear purely linear in design. We are a closed system. Everything circulates. And yeah, that's something that I find quite refreshing. And it allows me to feel a little bit sane in my madness, in that if I don't necessarily agree with something, if something troubles me, or if I want to talk to someone about it, I actually feel like I can now. I've got a safe circle of people I can bounce ideas off.
That's so exciting. And I couldn't agree more. And I loved what you said about, you know, getting it right, where we go through school and through life, you know, in order to get the right answer. And I think that idea underlines so much of our actions and so much of what we do day to day without us necessarily even being conscious of it, because we're always trying to get it right rather than, yeah, you know, explore.
Yeah. Yeah. I have massive performance anxiety. I really do. Like, you could sit me down and have me doing a quiz or a test, and I will actually do poorly because I'm more worried about the fact that I'm doing a quiz or a test rather than my academic capability. We are scared to get the wrong answer. We're scared to get a bad mark. We're scared to be seen to not conform. And we have that programmed into us. But I guess every now and then you find an outlier that you can relate to or talk to. And I think we need to actually look after our outliers and actually nurture them a little bit better than we currently do.
And you touched on this next question that I have about life not being linear, and you've had various diverse career choices, which I love, because I feel like I've had that for myself too. And there's so many people like, no, you've got to pick one thing and you just got to go in that direction. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I question that and I challenge it. And I understand in the sense of picking one thing and becoming really good at it, so you're not sending your energy to, you know, all over the place. I understand that. But are we so linear? So I guess my question to you is, do you feel that having the flexibility to explore different things has really helped you along your way?
Yes. And I think that it's actually maybe even a bit deeper than that. I mean, biologically, as animals, we're supposed to keep learning. We're supposed to keep training ourselves. We're supposed to be, you know, surviving in the environments and the things that get thrown at us. I think if people have a linear career progression and they only ever try to be good at one thing, then the invisible hands of economics could literally pick you up and drop you in a place where you are unemployable. So, I mean, when I first started to go solo, and I decided that I didn't want to have a traditional job for the moment, and I developed what we would call, I suppose, a portfolio career, I almost felt like I was a bit of a trailblazer for that. But I'm not alone in this. Like, a lot of people have sideshows, you know, without wanting to sound, you know, negative about people's passionate little side jobs and stuff that they call them sideshows, you know, that you've got your main job and then you've got your sideshow that you do when you've got time for it, the thing that you're passionate about. Yeah. And I wondered, why on earth am I burning myself out for the profit for some invisible person or for some shareholders that I've never met before, when I could be burning myself out for me and, for and the things that I feel passionate about? But to me as well, it goes back to sort of, I'm an environmental scientist and I've always loved ecology and I've always liked relationships and I've always liked the rules and lessons that Mother Nature teaches us. And we forget some of these. But Charles Darwin was a great advocate of one of my favorites, which is to diversify your skill set, either as a community or if you apply it to yourself as an individual. If you broaden your capability, you can buffer the storms and anything that gets thrown at you because you've got other skills. I think people sometimes forget that they've got a lot of transferable skills and they just get shoehorned into a particular pathway. And I think that there's modern corporates now, and Australia, I'd suggest, is actually probably doing this quite well. In some of our big corporates are actually encouraging people to think differently and trying to generate innovation hubs by, you know, and trying to validate that kind of thinking or allow people to spend time in a place that's not just in that traditional linear pathway. Because, you know, recruitment and hiring and firing and the cycles of economies, it's actually quite a large cost to companies. I'd suggest that retaining, retraining and keeping existing staff is not only great for staff morale and actually for your career.
We do have more of a thinking that supports this diversity in career choices. But what's your thoughts around people having a portfolio of all these different things? And sometimes an employer might look at that and be like, oh, but you did this for this amount of time and this for this amount of time. What's your perspective there?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we always used to look at, you know, you get your first job and you need to do at least a year, if not 2 years, if not 5 years. Otherwise, people will look at your CV and think, what went wrong? Why did you leave? Mm. Whereas when I was going through the Boss Young Execs program last year, and I luckily was one of the six finalists, one of the things we were all talking about was that people don't like to stay in one place for more than a couple of years because they want to get that broad range of experiences. So I think the average now, and don't let me get this wrong, but I read something, I think, in the AFR or something like that. One of the statistics were that the average length of employment at a company is about 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's what our graduates and our later, you know, people with like say less than 10, 15 years worth of experience, they're hopping around because things aren't stable. There's no such thing as a job for life anymore. Our grandparents would have a job at a factory or a job in a company and it would go for 50 years. Yeah. That just happen anymore. And we can notice now as well in terms of the speed of companies actually turning over. Like there's that graph from the US looking at all the companies that are being formed and the companies that are being liquidated. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever, I think this year, the graph crossed over and that more companies are being merged or closed down than are actually being created. Mm-hmm. So we're actually having fewer companies being created and more companies emerging or, you know, and one of the best ways companies can actually improve their diversity of their portfolio is actually to merge with other companies. So maybe there is a bit of a, again, this Darwinian feeling of, okay, we need to have this market and that market. We can't just rely on, say, for example, one part of the resources sector. Maybe we need renewables as well. And maybe we need some humanitarian work. And maybe we need, you know, lots of different things. So people can find inside large corporates that they can actually have a portfolio career across lots of different skill sets anyway. And if that's something people have calling to them, then there's many different ways to skin that cat. You don't have to go out on your own and be an entrepreneur. You can be an intrapreneur inside the company that you work for. And if you're working in a place that doesn't allow you that, look for companies that do. Mm. There's quite a few.
Yeah, that's such wonderful advice. Yeah, absolutely. And just before we finish off, tell me, what did you love about Wired for Wonder?
One of the things I love for Wired for Wonder in both of the cities that it took place in was the wonderful rainforest hub area.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think we miss is nature. We just don't see enough of it. We don't get out enough into it. They've got this expression now called forest bathing, which is basically you go into the woods, you know, you go for a walk in nature. And these things we should take, you know, we should do more often, but we should also respect the fact that they're free. You know, people can charge you $20 to go and see a movie for a couple of hours, but you can go for a walk all day in the hills and no one's going to charge you anything other than maybe a bit of a car park fee. And even then, that's not going to be $20. So I love that idea of nature inside and the fact that we need to be actually, submerged in nature to actually be human beings. I mean, that's what we are. We are Mother Nature's children, aren't we, really? So I love that idea of the outside, inside, and all those sounds, and just setting up that atmosphere. That atmosphere, I think, then carried out all the way through all of the program. So, yeah, no, I really like that.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks so much. You too.